Welcome to the Probes Podumentary. Our Podumentary is a series of audio documentaries on topics and stories that matter to people and are part of a public interest journalism in India. You're listening to me, Prema Sridevi. Here is our Season 1, Episode 4 of our Podumentary titled, How Sound is the Indian Economy? Recently, it was reported that India overtook the United Kingdom to become the fifth largest economy in the world. The IMF projections placed India in the fifth position after the US, China, Japan, and Germany. The premise of India overtaking the UK was based on the calculations of Bloomberg, which had used the IMF database for its study. Should India rejoice at this milestone, or should we exercise caution and not be complacent? Economist and former Deputy Chairman of the Planning Commission of India, Montek Singh Ahluwalia, says, India has a long way to go.
I've seen the numbers, and of course, it's good that we've overtaken Britain to become the fifth largest economy. But remember that this is not, this doesn't mean we are as rich as Britain, because, you know, we have a huge population. Our per capita income is, of course, much, much lower than Britain. But we have overtaken Britain, and quite frankly, we were only a little bit behind Britain. So it was quite predictable that since we are growing faster than Britain, I mean, Britain is growing at about 2% per year. And depending on which numbers you use and which period, I mean, in India, the growth rate, if we want to be very optimistic, we would say we will grow at 7%. But I mean, nobody doubts that we'll grow at 5 to 6%. So even the lowest growth rate for India would almost certainly have made India overtake Britain. So it's not a surprise to me, but it's a good thing that has happened. But we have a long way to go, because we are still at the bottom of the what is called the middle income countries.
India's population is 20 times higher than that of the UK, because of which its per capita GDP is low. But having said that, a decade ago, India was ranked 11th amongst the large economies. Dr. Charan Singh, economist and the CEO of eGrow Foundation, says, today India has reached a key milestone and we have much to rejoice.
If you look at India's growth strategy and if you look at the India's growth trajectory, they have been very impressive in the last few years. We are the fastest growing economy in the world. We are on a very solid footing. We have the most rich demographic dividend. Our regulator, the Reserve Bank and SEBI and the insurance regulator, are exceedingly robust, solid and doing a very good job. And you have seen how the financial system is standing behind the growth. So therefore, it's a great happy day, because here is a country which has ruled us for centuries, and now a time has come when we have been on a steady growth path and we have overtaken that country, and it seems we will be now by 2027 overtaking them by leaps and bounds. We are aware that per capita income of India will not compare with per capita income of UK. We are aware of that. The way the Brits left India in 1947, we were amongst the poorest countries of the world. About 90% of the people were below the poverty line. Literacy rate, our Indian traditional education, had been totally tarnished and shammed, and the British education system had been imposed on us. Going by the modern system, our literacy rate was around 10%. So as far as the statistics is concerned, I have no doubt about it. I have worked in the Reserve Bank for many years, and I can tell you that this is one of the best statistical literate country.
The slow growth of the manufacturing sector in India and the fact that our imports are higher than our exports have long been a major concern for the government. Human development economist Santosh Mehrotra says, when compared to the G20 or G7 countries, India's standing is low. India must not be complacent, but cautious.
By at market exchange rate, India's GDP has crossed that of the UK. So, I mean, that's simply a factual statement. But in many ways, in most ways, that's a pretty meaningless statement for the following reason. That the UK has a per capita income which is probably 20 times ours. And our per capita income is just around $2,000 at market exchange rates. So this is point one. It might give us a great deal of satisfaction to make us feel that our foreign colonizer has a smaller economy than ours. If India has the second largest population in the world, then should it not have the highest or the second highest GDP in the world? And it's nowhere close to that. And in fact, if you compare India with any of the G20 countries, forget about the G7, we are the poorest. And we have, and the only reason we've exceeded the UK is because we are growing fast and we are a large economy.
When the talk of India standing in the world crops up, some economists ask, what has really improved and for whom? On the Human Development Index, India has slipped 2 places and today ranks 132 out of 191 countries. According to Anita Rangan, an economist with Equirus, one of the most significant problems plaguing the Indian economy is the quantum of projects stuck due to bureaucratic hurdles.
We are certainly, in the lower ranks as we look at the per capita numbers, because we are in the triple digit space when it comes to per capita. So that indicates that, GDP is a measure of size. And, given a large population of ours, we are still among the lower ranks in terms of per capita. And there is a lot of room, therefore, for, improvement. And if you look at even China, for example, and if we compare our per capita incomes with China, China is almost 4 times more than our per capita income. US is probably 30 times more. UK is 20 times more. So even if we have surpassed UK in terms of a number, a size, pushing them from to the 6th position and we climbing them, we are still, the key milestone of per capita and the real incomes is still, yet to be achieved. First and the longest thing that has been plaguing the Indian economy is infrastructure. And the quantum of projects that are stuck is significant. It's the pace of execution that we need to improve. It's not, today we are in a situation where our sanctioning processes have become far more smoother, transparent and so on. But where we are lagging is the pace of execution, because projects start and they get stuck. And they get stuck for a long period of time before they are released. So that's the first thing, and that really needs to improve. We don't have to introduce new projects. We don't have to introduce new schemes. There's nothing new that we have to do in India. We just have to speed up the pace of execution of what we are doing currently now.
India is one of the fastest growing major economies in the world. But will the rising interest costs and the looming fear of recession in major economies play spoilsport for India? Economist and political strategist Mohan Guruswamy admits India needs to revisit its tax decision.
When you study government, the real index of a government's power is its tax GDP ratio. India, at this rate of per capita income, has a tax GDP ratio of about 14%. China has double that. Even a country like Russia has about 40%. Britain has 39%, America has 34%. That means unless your incomes are high, government can't collect taxes. Even if you have a large GDP, if your tax base is low, then the government is not rich or powerful. The higher the tax GDP ratio, the better for you. But given that India is not doing too well, even the United States has a higher tax rate than we do. And last year the government gave tax reductions to upper income groups, saying that they will invest, which is all rubbish. Nobody invests unless the investment opportunities are there. You don't invest because you've got money in your pocket. You tend to invest abroad, where you might get more assured returns. So I think we need to collect more money, spend more money on infrastructure, spend more money on people, agriculture, on schools, on hospitals and all that, which all contribute to growth. Capital expenditure to budget ratio is about 9%. That means for every 100 rupees government spends mostly on itself, only 9 rupees is spent on capital expenditure, that is to build something new. So unless your capital expenditure is high, your incomes are not going to grow. Per capita income, your jobs are not going to grow, which means per capita incomes are not going to grow. So there's a huge cycle there.
India's uneven monsoon has already hit the agriculture sector. Today, India is faced with higher borrowing costs, our unemployment levels are rising, and high inflation has put a severe strain on the economy. According to Santosh Mehrotra, demonetization and a hastily implemented GST policy slowed down the Indian economy.
Our economy was growing at a much slower rate from each year after the demonetization began. So the slowdown of the economy began just as a completely illogical intervention called the demonetization was put in place. And then a badly planned and badly designed and hurriedly implemented GST was put in place just as the economy was beginning to recover from the effects of the demonetization. Unfortunately, the focus of this government is way too much on winning elections, and therefore economic policy becomes subservient time and again to periodic elections. The government itself made mistakes on the tax side by reducing its reducing corporate income taxes rather sharply when it had promised to do so slowly from 2015 onwards. In addition, at the beginning, it did so in the middle of 2019. Before the elections of 2019, the Lok Sabha elections, it actually raised the thresholds for personal income tax. The result of that was about 75% of those who were paying income tax fell out of the personal income tax net. As it is, we have too few people paying personal income tax. So this is a ridiculous situation which of a fiscal crisis that the government had put itself into already from 2019 onwards.
India must revive its private investments and inflation must be contained. Initiatives like Make in India and Startup India must be given a boost. India's growth story will pick pace only if we put stronger and well-planned economic reforms in place.
Policy needs to focus on ensuring that investment revives. Private investment needs to revive. In the absence of private investment reviving, there is no hope for growth picking up. Without growth picking up, jobs will not grow. So that's problem number one. Problem number two that the government needs to address as quickly as possible is to reduce inflation. I mean, people lost jobs, the economy contracted, and yet what this government has done is to go on raising petrol and diesel prices and gas prices, which has only fueled inflation. We know that in some part of the inflation is imported because of the Ukraine war, oil prices have risen. But how do you explain the fact that we in 2014, India used to produce about 22% of our oil needs? We now produce only 16% of our oil needs. So we are even more dependent on imported oil. In an economy where joblessness has grown and prices have been rising, you are compressing demand by actually keeping input prices like diesel prices high, because that impacts every other commodity. So that's the second thing that the government needs to do. And if it does that, that would itself be a beginning to get the economy moving again.
Today, India is indeed in a much better position to tackle growth and inflation-related challenges. Indian economy is undoubtedly showing resilience and recovery. Some say India might even become the third largest world economy by 2027. But India cannot be complacent. It has miles to go before it leaps.
The inflation tolerance limit in America is about 2%. And they're running inflation of about 10%. The inflation tolerance limit in Britain and in Euro is around 1%. and they are running inflation in terms of 9 and 8%. In India, our long-term average of inflation is around 6%, and we are running an average inflation in the last year is around 7 to 8%. So I really do not understand when people say that India is suffering from severe inflation. I do not know where the comparison is coming from. I have given up on believing that all the wisdom lies with the Americans or the British or the Euro economists. Sorry, they have led us into the global great global recession of 2008, which was a nightmare for the rest of the world. And they did not think about the subprime crisis when it was unfolding in front of their eyes. So this is the second time they're going to lead the world into a plunge of recession. If India has to grow more fast and steadily, and we need to grow around 8%, I think we will have to blend modern technology into India. We also will have to ensure that employment is equally distributed. So there are regions in the country which are not developed at all. One of the most virgin fertile lands is Northeast. I think Northeast deserves to have cities like cosmopolitan cities and nerve centers like Bangalore, Hyderabad and Chennai to develop in Northeast. Under the supply chain, we have noticed the monopoly of China was extremely costly to the world, also to India. India should offer an alternative to the world and say that here is a country which can take care and provide you land, space and facilities, building and finance to come and house the industry in Indian soil. I think that will help India go ahead leaps and bounds.